Be holy. God, you serve is holy. Amen.
Amen.
That's what he told in his writing, to be holy. And I asked a question, I said, how do you be holy driving a car? Because some of us aren't holy when we drive a car. Let somebody cut you off. You start flipping all kind of stuff, saying all kind of words, blowing your horn all hard and everything. Amen. Some of us ain't holy when we drive. Breaking the speed limit, everything. Police pulling over, ready to cut the police out. You know you were wrong. Police pull me over, you say, you know what, you should guess I gave you a trouble. I was going too fast. I know I was. And you know what he did? He said, you're so honest. He let me slide. Don't do it anymore. Slow it down. That's all that's all. How many of you know he's been talking to you? Hello, I'm trying to help somebody. Amen. So here we are today. Praise God for your love. Father God, we love you. We thank you for life, your own. Now, Father God, as we count up on your word, Lord, use that. Help us to be holy. But we realize we can't be holy enough. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be holy like you. So come in our hearts, Lord, and help us to be holy. Not only in our relationship with you, but in our relationship with our brothers and sisters. Now, Lord, when I open my mouth, you speak to them. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my
life. It's my shirt,
yeah. Now, Father God,
it's my shirt,
yeah. Open our ears that we may hear, our hearts that we may see. Open up our spirit to this show, Lord, not our will, but your will be done in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins. We know we haven't done right all the time. We messed up along the way. But in your word, you said if we confess, you will be faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father God, we thank you for that. Thank you for the power of forgiveness. But then let us have that power to forgive others. Because there's some who come up against us, Lord. There's some who have done us wrong, Father God. Little stab us in the back, but we have to learn how to say, I forgive you. So give us that power of forgiveness today to forgive our brothers and sisters so that we can live in holiness according to your word. Do it now in Jesus' name. We pray and we say, let the church say, amen.
Amen.
Can the church say amen again?
Amen.
Say it one more time.
Amen.
Amen. We praise God for you.
Hi.
I'm going to cross a piece of scripture.
It is cold.
I'm going to read real quickly. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. Shannon did a beautiful job. She did a beautiful job. So beautiful. I'm just going to go. Let's go to verse number 8. She read all that. Y'all know the story. Y'all know the story. Stay right there. Then Isaiah said, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I see? Whom shall I see? And who will go for us? Listen how God is speaking to Isaiah. Whom shall I see? And who will go for us? This is the Old Testament. Hello, somebody. Can I bring it down? Can I unpack this? This is the Old Testament. Jesus has not come on the scene yet. Hello. But God uses the word, and who will go for us, which solidifies the triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. When he said, who will go for us? That's who he's talking about. Who's going to go for the Father? Who's going to go for the Son? Who's going to go for the Holy Spirit? Who shall I sin, and who will go for us? In other words, God is saying, I'm going to choose them, but they're going to work for us. Hello? And then Isaiah replied.
How many of us are willing to be in that position? How many do we realize what it takes to make a statement like that before God? Or we can say that to each other, because sometimes we may not fulfill the obligation of what's required, and no consequences will happen. But when you stand before God, the Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break a vow. But Isaiah was so confident in who he was and what he was capable of doing with the help of God, he said, "Here am I. Send me." So this morning, I'm placing your hearing this for a topic. I'm ready to go. Send me. Do I have any other saints in the house? I'm ready to go. Send me. I didn't see everybody's hand going up. Everybody, you got to be in a certain frame of mind before you make a statement like this. I'm ready to go. Send me. Amen. Amen. You know that it's going to cost you something along the way. You know you can't do it by yourself. You know you're going to need the help of God. So I can say it confirmly. I can say, I'm ready to go. Send me. I can say it with confidence. Why? Because it ain't me by myself. I got the help. I got the help of the Holy Spirit with me. I can say I'm ready to go. Send me. You got to realize, church, 2 weeks ago, the Lord led us to the topic of God brought me out. Amen? How many of y'all remember that?
Amen.
God brought me out. Then last Sunday, we was led to talk about God's got your back.
Amen.
Well, this week, the Spirit is saying if God brought us out and he got our back, then we got to be ready to go.
Hello.
We can't just stand still after knowing all that great information that God can bring me out, that God brought me out, that God got my back. Why don't you say I ain't scared? I'm ready to go. Tell somebody I'm ready to go. Tell them like, see, y'all didn't say what I'm ready. Say what I'm ready.
I'm ready to go.
Send me. Here we are witnessing a moment in one man's life where he was changed forever. We are witnessing God in direct communication with his servant, a brief yet profound encounter with dignity and divinity, a glimpse of heavenly realm. This man named Isaiah was personally delivering a message from on high. God had a need for his child. He had a need for his servant. He had a need for the one that he would anoint on that day. And while he was delivering this message, Isaiah, mind, body, and spirit, was captured in a moment of time and to a place that exists, but it's not of this world. Have anybody ever caught yourself in a place that's not of this world?
No,
let me put it this way. Have anybody ever drove somewhere? And then once you got there, you wonder, how did I get here?
Amen.
Don't play with me. I thought I was the only one that did that. I thought I was the only one. And you get there, you're like, this is where I was supposed to end up. But I don't know how. Because I got caught up in the spirit while I'm driving. You ain't nothing but God that led me, that drove me there, because in my mind, I was somewhere else. Anybody ever catch yourself and they say you were daydreaming? No, you got caught up in the heavenlies. You got caught up in a place that you were outside of this world.
Right.
He's already confirming we're in the world.
Right.
But we're not in the world.
Right.
I operate under a different system.
Right.
Hello. And so sometimes people are straight on, huh? Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't with you right then. I was somewhere else. Amen. You gotta understand, he was in a place, but this is a place that functions differently than what we're used to. This is a place where angels live, where the spirits dwell, where man is made perfect in the sight of God. And the Bible said that Isaiah saw the Lord sitting high up on his throne, and he was lifted up. His train filled the temple, and the angels was worshiping him. And while he looked up on him, can you imagine the light of God's glory that shined all around him? The Bible said that the angels had six wings. Two their face because his glory was so powerful. They was in the power and the presence of God. Two, to cover their feet because their feet was not worthy to touch the holy ground where God was seated at. And two, so that they can Isaiah saw all of this. And when he saw them, the angels was flying back and forth saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Then the other angel answered back, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy." If holy is not in your vocabulary, you better get it in there. Because when you get that, that's what we're going to be saying all day long. It's holy, holy, holy. Isaiah saw all of this. God's majestic presence had filled this place, and in a moment had transcended any earthly experiences this prophet of God had already encountered. And in this moment of time, he was lifted to a state that left him unconscious to the outside world. But his inner eye, he saw what God revealed to him and what God wanted for him, which brings me to my first point this morning. God wants us to look inwardly to achieve outwardly. The kids just sung inside out. I said they didn't even know what they were singing today. Oh, God, do it. I didn't tell them what I'm preaching this morning. Amen. That's the Lord working in conjunction with what's going on in his house. It takes us to work from the inside out. God wants us to look inwardly to achieve outwardly. Amen. God wants us to place the mirror in front of ourselves and look closely at what we see. And like I said, God has miraculously and marvelously planned something for somebody today. God is calling you to do some great things. And God wants you to be successful, not only in ministry, but in your day-to-day walk of life. But even though we are children of God, even though we are set aside by God's grace, even though we have already may have our ticket to heaven, even though we are saved, many of us have not fully realized how to capture success for ourselves. We're good for praying for others, but what about praying for you? Many of us are still trying to scale personally, professionally, and our family barriers that are hindering us from both what God wants for our lives and what God wants us to do. So if we agree on some things, then we can agree that we have much to learn from what Isaiah's experience was in the heavenly realm. Watch this, watch this. Verse number 3. One angel cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Look at somebody and tell them, "You are now in the glory of God." That should have made you feel some type of way. And the angels cried out. It says that the post of the doors was moved by the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And as the post and the doors moved, something happened that made Isaiah's inner man speak out. Something happened that made him change his perspective on himself. Something reached down into the basement of his spirit. Something pushed and shoved his way out of his belly. Something moved inside him and gave him a fresh anointing. It made him cry, "Whoa! It's me, for I am undone." It made him see himself in a different manner. It made him come to himself and humble himself to something greater than anything he has seen. You see, this is what happened to Isaiah. The closer he got to a holy God, the closer he came to the throne of God, the more he realized that with all he had going on in his life, he had even a greater purpose when he faced God. His inner person leaped out to the Lord. What he knew now and understood about himself had to cry out. He had to let somebody know that he was all ready to give himself to a greater power, and that he had realized that he was nothing, nothing compared to what had called him. God calls your name. You start to realize who you really are. Isaiah could not remove his own guilt. The atonement is made possible at the altar of God. The place of sacrifice and the purification is specifically applied to the point of Isaiah's sins, which was up on his lips, making Isaiah acceptable as a minister of God's word. Somebody out here right now might be going through some feelings. You're growing closer and closer to God. You're seeking your purpose. You desire success. You are days, hours, minutes from your visitation from a holy God, and the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you, because the Bible said in Ephesians 3:16 that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory. Ephesians 3:19, so that you might be filled with the fullness. Not yourself. You ain't all that. You may think you all that because you do all of this. But all of this don't make you anything. Can I help somebody? Your doctor's degree, all that stuff, all the degrees, that's good, that's good. Go get it, go get it. But it don't mean nothing when it comes to God. In Sunday school, we learned that God is not a respecter of person. So God gonna judge you with your high education, just like he judged a person standing on the street. I know it may seem rough. I know the world, let me tell you something right now. The world don't care about you.
Right.
Can I say that one time?
Yeah.
The world don't care about you.
Amen.
But you don't have to be paralyzed in your present state. You don't have to constrain with your current situation. You don't have to be limited by life circumstances. For if God be for us, who can stand against us? If the Lord is for us, who can be against us? If Jesus is for us, who can be against us? For who should separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or the sword? For you are more than conquerors, is what the Bible tells me. For I am already an overcomer. Do I have any overcomers in the room? You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and call according to his purpose. God wants us to learn from our experiences that we have abundant life. Look at somebody and tell them, I already got it. But then tell them that I may not live like it. But tell them, I already got it. You can have $1 million in your bank account, but you don't know how to manage it. Don't mean nothing, because you can have $1 million today and be broke tomorrow. Hello. I know stories after stories of professionals in sports. Hollywood had millions and millions and millions of dollars and end up selling meat out of a refrigerated truck. Got all the money talking about his hammer time. Ain't got no money right now. Amen. How many millionaires done won the lottery and broke in less than 2 years? You have an abundant life.
Amen.
It's already given to you when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He said, I come that you may have life and have it what? So that's a promise. And if Jesus made a promise, it's already carried out. So I have an abundant life. I already got it. I just need to start living like it. I need to start living like I have an abundant life. Start living like Jesus is in control. Start living like the Lord is the one who's got my back all the time and bringing me out. And I need to start acting like it. So when life comes up against me hard, don't be running scared. Don't be talking about this is the worst thing the devil could ever put on. The devil's on my track. The devil sure is busy. Oh, y'all know y'all done heard that. The devil is busy. The Bible told me when you learn your Bible and start acting like it, the Bible says, because I'm more than a conqueror. Devil ain't on my track. The devil got mad when I woke up this morning and put my feet on the floor. All hell shook when I put my foot on the floor. How I shook the depths of hell when I put my foot on the floor. I let the devil know another child of God is up and ready for battle. Running no more. Running no more. Closer Isaiah came to God, the greater was his understanding of himself. The closer he came to God, the more he realized about himself and the people around him, the greater of an empathy he had on his life and on the life of others. It brings me to the second one. You see, God wants us to learn from our experience, and through the power of Jesus in our lives, we can have more of an abundant life. Isaiah said, whoa! In other words, when he got close to God, God started holding up a mirror and started showing him who he was. And Isaiah said, whoa! I ain't as pretty as I thought I was. I ain't as holy as I thought I was. I'm not living what God called me to live. I'm living pretty bad right now. Whoa! For I am undone. Whoa! Get close to God. God start calling you on Front Street. You start to see yourself in a different light. And we got to learn. We got to learn like Isaiah did and say, whoa! For I am undone. I realize that I am a man of unclean lips. I done said some stuff I shouldn't have said. I done talked about some folk I shouldn't have talked about. I done said some words that shouldn't come out of my mouth. We can learn much from this verse. You see, the original word for woeful comes from the Hebrew meaning to be frail or feeble. Even further, it was meant to describe someone who is desperately or incurably sick. When I say woe is me, I'm telling you that I am desperate for something. I'm telling you I'm frail in my season of life. I'm telling you I'm feeling a little feeble right now, a little weeble wobbly right now. But what the scripture teaches us is that Isaiah was going through a learning process. He's growing beyond years and time and space, that the Lord of hosts was preparing a one-on-one tutorial for the one of his prophets. How do we know that God wants us to learn from our experience? Look at the scripture. Look at the scripture. When he says, for I am undone. When he spoke these words, he was saying, I realize that I'm not complete. I realize I'm not all that on a bag of chips. I'm not finished yet. I have many things to learn in life. I'm not what I used to be, but thank God I'm not where I was. But you got to understand, not my will, God, but your will right now. When I can commit, when I can admit that I am undone, I'm telling the Lord, Lord, I got more. I need to learn from you. When we can admit that the reason that we're standing in an area of our life because we're not whole, when we can admit that in spite of our positions in life, in spite of our personality, in spite of my title, in spite of the good things that are transparent, I realize I'm still deficient. I still realize I'm incomplete. I still realize I need something more fulfilling. I need the gaps in my life to be filled. And when we can move out of the maintainity and maintain our mentality in our life and begin to prosper beyond the place where we've been for the last 5, 10, 15 years, and God starts to move us in a direction that's greater than myself, we got to tell God, I'm undone. I humble myself before the Almighty God. Great author once said, God doesn't want us to do extraordinary things. He wants us to do ordinary things extraordinarily well. Can I say that one again? I should have put that one on the screen. God doesn't want us to do extraordinary things. He wants us to do ordinary things extraordinarily well. want us to operate in excellence.
Amen.
Before an excellent God. He want us to operate beyond our own measures and beyond our own means. He want us to operate according to his word. What does that mean? It means that you can't take shortcuts in life. You can't take shortcuts to success. You can't take shortcuts with God. That means you can't be like the children of Israel. They heard, but they didn't receive. They knew, but they didn't act. They needed, but they didn't partake. We have attacked the ordinary with extraordinary energy and just going nowhere because God ain't in it. But when you attack the ordinary with the extraordinary and with the wisdom of God, he will reveal a plan that cannot be shaken, that cannot be moved, that cannot be destroyed. You will look at your life experiences and realize how far he has brought you from. Has anybody looked back?
Yeah.
Just took a minute or two and looked back. I ain't talking about 10, 20 years. I'm talking about just last. Look back over my life, over what you said, and wonder how I made it over. Because I know me. I know me. And for me to be where I am now, nothing but God. Because in my old me. When I thought I was something, when I walked around with my nose up high, when I thought I was higher than everybody, when I thought everybody was beneath who I am, when I thought my title meant something, when my education meant something, when I thought I was all that and everything else, when I thought all of that, but now I see where God brought me from.
Right.
And when he delivered me from what I thought I was,
right,
to who I really am.
Right.
I'm nothing but a wretch undone. When you look where he has brought you from, you'll take that frail, feeble, fleeting inner you, and it will shout out in the name of Jesus. Hello, hello, if you ask, it shall be given. If you seek, if you knock the door, watch him open up blessings for you. Watch him go before you. Watch him send his angels to. How many of you know that you're still protected by angels? Don't play with me now. Angels are real. God, I'm trying to help somebody right now. God, I don't know about you, but I've seen an angel. Well, you can say I'm crazy all you want, but I know what I'm talking about. Call me crazy if you want to, but I've seen the hands of angels. I've seen them hold me up. When the car man tried to kill me, he went, I ain't got no airbags back then. I didn't get covered. are still watching over me. Gotta understand that when we're in the Spirit of God, we tell him I'm undone. He will start to cast off spirits of lack. You know laziness is a spirit?
Yeah, man.
Can I pause for just one minute? Just stand 1 minute right there. Laziness is a spirit. Laziness comes from the enemy. Because if the devil can get you to be lazy, then he can steal anything from you that he wants to take. Because you're too lazy to even protect yourself. When you don't read your word, that's being lazy. When you're not praying to God, that's being lazy. Amen. Why do you think that spirit come up on your sleepiness?
Amen.
When you're trying to read your Bible?
Amen.
When you, how many of you did the sleepy prayer?
Amen. Because
the devil knows prayer is powerful. The devil knows the word is powerful. How many of y'all have been in here on Sunday morning? The devil don't want you to know truth. He don't want you to know the word of God. He don't want you to know the power that you have inside of you. That's why he told us to be vigilant. Have some zeal. Knowing that our enemy roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Yes.
That's why he said watch and pray.
Yes.
There's an enemy that want to kill you, and in our laziness, he will get you. God will cast off that spirit of lack and destruction. He will heal relationships. He will restore your body. He will renew your finances. He will make a way out of no way. He can heal your family, fix your relationship, cleanse your body, purge your sins, watch him forgive you. And like Isaiah, he will speak to your mind. He will touch your heart, and he will say in your spirit, and then you have no recourse but to speak out loud and say, send me. I'm ready to go. And when Isaiah heard the voice of God, he not only saw his inner person lead outwardly, he not only came to himself and learned a new lesson of life, but he offered himself to God to go to the people and bring forth fruit in the name of the Lord. If we are operating according to the way God called us, there will be fruit.
Amen.
The Bible says, and their fruit shall follow them. If you call yourself working for God and you turn around and there's no fruit, then you ain't working for God.
Amen.
If God told you to go, you're going to have everything you need to be productive, and you will be reproducing what God called you to produce.
Amen. Amen.
When he say go, when you say send me, you're telling God, I'm ready, I'm prepared, Lord, for me to be used as a vessel to produce the fruit that you called me to produce.
Amen.
We got to clearly understand. We got to clearly understand the scripture says in Isaiah 6:8 that when he heard the voice, him, Isaiah said it. God didn't prompt him to say it. Isaiah said it. When God said, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Send me. It's only after Isaiah is cleansed of his sins that he says, here am I. Prior to that point, he saw himself as an unworthy messenger. Once he was forgiven, immediately desired to serve the Lord in whatever way possible. Some of us don't want to serve till God shows us what we're serving. Some of us don't want to go till God shows us where we're going. God will never show you where you're going until you take a leap of faith to start walking. The Lord asks, whom shall I send and who will go for us? He wants willing volunteers in his service. So I told the groups, the last couple of groups we met with, I don't need no nomination. Well, I want a nomination. That's so you can get it off of you. Anytime people start nominating somebody else, they tell me God just spoke to them and they trying to run.
Amen.
That should be a confirmation.
That's why I look for volunteers. People who will say, send me. I'll go. The Lord has placed it up on my heart to do this. The Lord has placed it in my will hand to do this. And guess what? Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you what the other Strayhorn told me. After I became a preacher. After I gave up to the call of my life, this is what my dad told me. He said, son, I knew it was in you, but I would never tell you to be a preacher. Because some of y'all know, most of my younger life, I said, I'd never be like my dad. I saw what he went through, the sleepless nights. I saw what he was gone. I saw it. I lived it. I said, I've never laid my dad. But he said he knew the anointing was on my life. But he would never tell me to be a pastor, to be a preacher, to be a minister. He would never tell me to do that. He said, because son, if I told you to do it, and things get hard, then you'll start blaming me. And then you'll be coming to me with all your problems. Because I'm the one who told you to go do it. I said, so I would never do it. But when you came to me and said, the Lord has called you.
Amen.
Now when you get in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go to crying to him. Because he's the one that called you. And he's the one that will equip you. And he's the one that will give you everything that you need. So don't come to me.
Yeah.
That's the truest thing I ever heard. Yeah. And some of us trying to make our children be something they're not.
Come on. Yeah. Amen.
Come on.
And you start getting the rebellion, you start getting the talk back. You better start looking at your child and discovering what they're good at. What they can all to do. Start lifting them up to that. That's why I ask for volunteers in the different ministries. I don't want folk in the ministry who's half-hearted about it. I'm just going to do it because everybody else is doing it. We will weed you out in a heartbeat. Because as soon as a problem comes, then you're going to start blaming everybody else instead of looking inwardly. What am I not doing? Because I believe God called me to this work, so something must be missing right now. What I need to do to be better. Well, you know, if Sister So-and-so would have did her thing, then I didn't. That's why Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. In other words, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Send me. He wants willing volunteers in his service. And a grateful and enthusiastic Isaiah didn't hesitate in taking the opportunity. Here am I, send me. And for the rest of his life, Isaiah served the God who had forgiven and saved. You say this and I'm going. God has chosen you and will prepare you for his great thing. chapter 15, verse 15 and 16. I'm going to try to close this thing out. Henceforth, this
month.
Henceforth, I call you not servants. For the servant, not knowing not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. This is what Jesus said. Ye have not chosen me.
Amen.
But I have chosen you. Not only chose you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth what?
Fruit.
What?
Fruit.
What?
Fruit.
And that your fruit should what?
Remain.
And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name. See, we don't believe the scripture. We don't believe this. Whatsoever you shall ask of my Father, in my name, he may give it to me. But he said, that whatsoever. In other words, everything before that has to be done. And then everything after that will be done. So before the death, I have to know that I've been chosen and ordained, and I should be bringing forth fruit. Amen. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to who?
Yeah.
You asking God for something? My question is, what are you doing for God?
Amen.
What are you doing? God not only wants us to release that bound inner man, not only does he want us to learn from our experience, but he's reminding us that he chose us and ordained us, that we receive the blessings that he has not only in his kingdom, but also here on earth. How many of you know the abundant life don't mean when you get to heaven?
Amen.
Abundant life means right here and right now. Somebody should shout right there. Somebody should shout right there. Because some of us know that we're living on grace and mercy. Some of us know we're living on favor of God. Because Jesus said that he will show us abundant life, and he means right now. How many know God will prepare you for what he called you for? Somebody might be thinking, I can't do the work good enough to give God glory for it. Some of us may be thinking, I'm not gifted in areas that I would like to work. And because we have these feelings of self-doubt, because we have allowed this intrusion of low self-concept and esteem to invade our spirit, we won't accomplish the things in Christ. We will not accomplish things at home. We will not accomplish things in our relationship. We will not accomplish things even on our job. Our inner thoughts are still at war with our outer actions. You want more, but have you prepared to do more? God is preparing us for great things, but we refuse to take actions on the things that he has prepared us for. And because of this lack of actions on those things and places in our life, nothing is happening that will fulfill you. And when nothing happens, guess what? Nothing happens. Until we breathe and digest the ideal of one word, nothing may ever change. One word needs to be in our spirit. One word needs to be in our mind. Right. One word needs to be what God has called us to be, and that one word is success. Amen. Jesus died on the cross, but it was still success. You got to understand the death of Christ was prophesied in the Old Testament. They prophesied about a man being born of a virgin. They prophesied about him being hung on a tree. They prophesied about him coming back in 3 days. They prophesied about all of that. And when it happened, it was a success. God has put some things in your spirit. We gotta have, we gotta want to learn how to live with the idea, I want success in my life, success in my home, success on my job, success in school, success in church, success in my relationship, success for my children. I'm gonna fight for it. I'm gonna scratch and crawl for it. I'm gonna dig down deep for it, because I got a right to be blessed by God. I got a right to praise Him. I got a right to have joy. I got a right that He called me. I got a right that He's chosen me. I got a right that He's ordained me. I got a right that He sent me. I have a right to an abundant life. Because Jesus promised it to me. The Lord has prepared you. He's heard your cry. But He wants your heart. We got to clearly understand, last week, we asked for those who are ready to move, come to the altar. Things full. Folks who said, Lord, I'm ready. Folks who said, I need to know what the next step is. We got to be like Isaiah. Even if you don't know, I dare you to say, here am I, Lord. Send me.
Right.
When you open up that door, when you open up that area of your life, that you're being accepted to whatever God has called you to do, when you say, here am I, send me, I believe, and I tell you right now, God will start sending things in your spirit. In your prayer time, in your reading the scripture time, the words are going to leap right off the Bible and start speaking to your spirit. God will start showing you things you never saw before. Can I ask somebody, have you ever read a scripture you've been reading for like 20 years, and then all of a sudden you read it one day and it just, boom, blow your mind? Anybody ever been there? You read it for years, read it for years, you just skim right over it. But now you read it. Because you're in an area of your life where you'll be more receptive to what God is saying in your spirit. That's why I opened up on you like that. Because God starts speaking to your inner man. God starts speaking to your spirit. And letting you know what? This is an area of your life that I want to be in. That's why this scripture is exploding in your spirit. Anybody ever tried to quote a scripture and it was on the tip of your tongue? You know what it was? You've been trying to quote it, you've been trying to say it. You're like, I know this. It's right here. It's right. I got it. And then when God revealed it to you, you say, oh, that's what that means. That's why I was so heavy on my spirit. I got to do something about it now. But we got to know something, that when God calls you, He will give you everything you need. Listen what Paul said to Philippians 4:19. And God will supply all our needs. Not according to what you got in the U.S. bank. But what you got ain't enough. I don't care what you got in your 401k. I don't care what you got in your retirement. It ain't enough. Paul realized that God is the one who will supply everything you need according to the riches and His glory by way of Jesus Christ. So if He called you, quit doubting what God called you to do and step out of faith and do it. How many of you know when there's a call, there's a requirement, there's a qualification? You're going to leave for God, then you need to leave for God. There's going to be some requirements, there's going to be some qualifications on our life and on our call. When God called you, He didn't call you for nothing. Salvation is free. But ministry is going to cost you something. Time, money, energy, Chicago. Maybe that's why some of us ain't said it yet. Because we're not ready. We're not ready to sacrifice. We're not ready to give what God is requiring us to give. So we're not saying that. Lord, there's still some stuff I want to do. There's some things that's going on right now, Lord, that I just can't, I can't move it out the way right now. Because, Lord, this is what I... What you want, what God wants, how many of y'all know that's two different things? God said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways.
Right.
But he said, I can do abundantly more than you can ever imagine or think if you just turn it over to him. I don't care what you're going through the test of life, God will supply. Even the attacks from the enemy, God will supply. How many of you have made a bad decision and God still supplies?
Amen.
Through all the hurt, harm, and danger, God still supplied. He made a way you didn't know how, even through the confusion, sickness, suffering, and pain. In the name of Jesus, God worked all things out for your good. Hello, hello. He said, whatever you bind on earth, you shall bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, you will loose in heaven. How many of you know? How many of you know if you follow his ways, keep his charge in the name of Jesus, you can climb the walls of laziness. Tell somebody to wake up now. In the name of Jesus, you can subdue the giants in your life. For the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's already. And in the name of Jesus, you will take the victory that God has given you and go tell somebody else. The woman at the well said, let me tell you about a man. After Jesus gave her the word of life and the water of life, she was giving him physical water. He gave her spiritual water. And she ran into the town. She couldn't take it no more. You see, look, when you know you've been bad, and then acting up all your life, running around after every man in town, making every married woman scared, when Jesus comes to the woman at the well, that's right. And Jesus said, I know, because the man you with ain't yours. You done had five others that ain't yours. I wasn't going down, but you took me there. Then she ran into town. She said, let me tell you. Now, you know they was all scared when she said, let me tell you. Oh, Lord, don't tell her. Don't tell about me, you girl. Don't tell her. Then she said, let me tell you about a man. Oh, Lord, don't let me tell you. But then she said, let me tell you about a man that told me everything about myself, that knew my sin and how bad it was, and I still was forgiven. Let me tell you about a man that can give you living water, that you will thirst for. You don't need to touch and everything that's out there. Yeah. 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 Let me tell you about some living water. Water that woke me up to help me to live. I ain't got to be scared no more. I ain't coming after your husband. I got a man. His name is Jesus. We got to understand. God wants us to climb the spiritual ladder of our lives. Because once you begin to climb that ladder, it takes you higher and higher and higher in Jesus Christ. And the blessings of God become more abundant, more than you can ever imagine. There was a survey that was conducted with 100 people who were very successful in life. Amen. They had already won the game of life. I want you to think about this in regards to giving your life a commitment to the Lord, or even renewing a commitment to for the Lord, the church, and the ministry. The survey said that of those who found success and fulfillment in life, zero of the winners said, "I won't." In other words, "I won't" was not in their vocabulary. 10% would say, "I can't." 20% said, "I don't know how." 30% said, "I wish I could." 40% said, "I could." 50% said, "I might." 70% said, "I think I should." 80% said, "I can't." 90% said, "I will." But 100% of the winners said, "I did." God wants to prepare you for a work. He wants to cleanse you, just like we did Isaiah. When God is asking, "Whom shall I send?" then we should be like Isaiah with our voice. Let me give the opportunity to send. Isaiah knew he couldn't do it, but he knew he could do it with the help of God. Don't be scared of ministry that God has called you to do. God will help you in the spiritual realm. Everything that you need to be successful in the heavenly realm. The Bible told us this morning, Sunday school, God is looking at your works and what you're doing here on earth. What are you doing for Him? Your relationship vertical, that's cool. Everybody can say, "I love the Lord." Everybody say, "I love the Lord. The Lord be good to me. I love the Lord." But what about that person sitting across from you? Because Peter said, "Love serve love God with fear and reverence." But he said, "Love each other as Christ." And if He's called you to a work, get up. Get in your ready position and go. Because guess what? The gun has already been fired. Some of us still at the starting line.
Amen.
Well, I believe I got some believers in the house that stood up and started going. Pressing towards the mark of a higher calling, right? Which is in Christ Jesus. I want to be as fast, the fastest man on earth right now. Amen. In a 100 meter dash. Who's the fastest? I know
you say,
but somebody beat his record the other day. Yeah, not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, somebody beat his record, which everybody thought would be unbeatable. But this brother came out of nowhere. Amen. And so I came. Did you say it was a woman? It was a woman. Lord Jesus.
Oh, geez.
Like her. You ready to go? Amen. Look at somebody, tell them, "I'm ready."